39. The next knock came just before 3 the following afternoon. Nate opened his door to find Veek and Tim standing there. A large backpack hung from one of Tim's shoulders. Nate looked at Veek. "Shouldn't you be at work?"
"I called in sick," she said with a sly grin. "Ready for adventure?"
"What do you mean?"
"Veek and I had a talk," said Tim. "We know there was a threat involving this building, possibly a murder too. It's time to get a bit more active."
"Meaning what?" asked Nate.
"We're going into the cellar," said Veek.
"Sorry?"
"The big room," she said, "and the sub-basement. We need to see what's in there."
"What about Oscar?"
"Oscar is being a perfect old-world gentleman and driving Mandy out to the Food for Less in Van Nuys," said Tim. "Their staff got hit with a bug and they're short on cashiers. She had a chance to get an extra shift if she could be out there by 4.
"With rush hour on the 101, he's going to be gone for at least an hour and a half," said Veek. "How much of that is true?"
"Enough that Mandy went along with it," said Tim. "The clock's ticking. Are you coming?"
The three of them made their way down the back staircase and into the basement. Nate stopped in front of the first padlocked door, the one across from the laundry room.
"Want to start here?"
Tim nodded.
"Get the small problems out of the way first," he said.
"So how are we getting in?" asked Veek. "We never went over that."
Tim pulled a worn leather checkbook from his back pocket and flipped it open to reveal an array of lockpicks. They had the dull gleam that came from years of use. The picks slid into the padlock and his fingers adjusted them. It was a smooth and practiced technique. Veek's eyes bugged behind her glasses.
"So," Nate said, "you know how to pick locks too?"
"I published a book on it a few years back," Tim said. "One of those how-to things they used to sell in Soldier of Fortune and Writer's Digest and magazines like that. It seemed like a useful skill, so I played around with it."
"You know," said Veek, "there's only so many times you can fall back on the 'I published a book about it' thing and we are going to buy it."
He smiled.
"It is a great catch-all excuse, though, isn't it?"
"How do you know how to do all this stuff?"
The pick gave a sharp twist and the padlock popped open.
"Tell you what," said Tim. "You want to tell us what you're doing with that brute force computer up in your apartment? You go first. I'll spill all my secrets next."
Her smile faded.
"I don't know what you're talking about."
"Good call," he said. "I'm just a retired publisher. You would have been pissed."
The door opened and they looked in. A bucket filled with hand tools sat near the door. A very broken weed whacker stood in one corner. A plastic rake leaned over it. 3 metal-framed shelves stood against the walls filled with boxes. Half of them were labeled either with the original packaging or with fat swipes of a magic marker. Halogen bulbs, hallway lights, pipe fittings, several boxes of fuses with different watts and amperages. Others had random codes on them or phrases like Katie's bedroom that told Nate they'd been recycled from previous uses.
"Wow," said Veek, "a dirty storeroom."
"But now we know," said Tim.
"And knowing is half the battle," said Nate. They all smiled. Tim pulled the door shut and snapped the lock shut on the hasp. The ornate double doors stood at the end of the hall. The bar stretched across them and the chain wrapped around it.
"How do you want to do this?" asked Nate.
Tim swung the pack off his shoulder and pulled out a long metal flashlight. It was one of the black ones policemen used. He handed it to Nate.
"The easy way," he said.
He turned to Veek. "Do you have your phone?"
"Yeah, of course."
"Get photos of the chain," he said. "How it loops around the bar and the handles. We want to be able to put it back the same way."
Nate aimed the light at the first bracket on the left where the chain looped under the steel L and around the bar. Veek's phone clicked and Nate moved the light to the next crisscross of links. Tim waited until they were done and the light settled on the bulky padlock. The picks slid into the lock and shifted beneath his fingertips. A moment later, it popped open. The chain clattered on the bar and handles as they unwound it. Tim pulled a pillowcase from his backpack, slung the chain into it with the padlock, and dropped it in the corner. He wiped some rust on his jeans and set his hands on one side of the wooden beam. Nate nodded from the other end. Dust streamed down as they lifted the bar out of the brackets. Tim stood it against the wall next to the pillowcase. Nate's hand settled on a handle. Veek closed her fingers on the other one.
Ready?
For about a year now, she said, a smile spread across her face.
They pulled the doors open. The hinges were smooth and took the weight and movement without a single sound. Light from the hallway spilled into the room. It wasn't that different from what they'd seen in Zila's photograph. The floor was a single slab of concrete. There were two long cracks in it. One had been patched, one hadn't. A few green roaches scuttled away from the light and vanished into the dark corners of the room. They left thin paths in the dust behind them. Nate could see thousands of trails the bugs had traced over time. He glanced at Veek. You going to be okay?
I'll be fine.
She stomped her feet and sent ripples out through the carpet of dust. Nate noticed her pants were tucked into her boots. Light switch, said Tim. He was walking the perimeter of the room. You want to risk it? Nate looked around. I don't think this place is wired for high security, he said. Go ahead. The switch clicked and the room exploded with brilliance. An oversized bulb in the center of the room drove back the shadows and the last few brave roaches. The room covered the front half of the building's foundation. Its ceiling was wooden beams strung with a few decades of dusty cobwebs made even brighter by the light bulb they surrounded. The walls were brick all the way around the room, and on each of them cast iron pipes ran up into the building. At the center of the room was the railing. It was made of pipes held together by oversized flanges. There were two horizontal bars. The whole thing was 7 or 8 feet long and 3 feet wide. Between the pipes was a staircase. The steps were made of steel splattered with dots of orange rust. They led down into darkness. Tim finished walking the perimeter. There were some tools in one corner, a shovel and a pair of push brooms that had all faded to the same shade of gray.
Nothing, he said. It's pretty much just a big empty room, and the elevator shaft.
He pointed in the corner behind the door. There was a steel cage with a wooden frame built around it. The door looked like a screen door made with heavier mesh. There was no sign of the elevator. The shaft was empty except for a pair of cables running up into the building and down into the sub-basement. Veek snapped pictures with her phone. She photographed the coil on the wall and then tapped it. The coil swung and tore loose a few ancient cobwebs. They drifted in the air in slow motion.
It's cable, she said. I told you so.
Not copper, though, said Nate, looking over her shoulder. Maybe it's for the elevator. She shrugged. Nate crouched by the stack of newspapers at the base of the railing. The top page was a haze marked with a few roach trails. He blew on it, and words and pictures appeared from beneath years of dust. Tim stood next to him.
What's the good news?
Planes are safe again. It looks like President Carter's hoping we can all pull together and get through the energy crisis. Nate smiled. Oh, and Governor Brown cut $300 million from the state budget by saying no to raises for state employees. He blew more dust off the paper's banner. L.A. Times, July 14, 1979.
Is that important?
Asked Veek.
The date?
Nate thumbed through the stack of papers. They were yellow and stiff, but not too fragile. Doesn't look like it. I think it's just a stack of newspapers somebody dumped in here.
It does give us an idea the last time anyone was doing something in here, though, said Tim. Going off the rust on the lock and all the dust, I think it's safe to say no one's been in here since those got stacked there.
Veek tilted her head.
33 years, she said. That's 10 years before Oscar was even living in the building. He may never have been in here.
She glanced around the room. Maybe he doesn't have the key, said Nate. Tim moved to stand next to them. He peered over the railing into the darkness and checked his watch.
Tick-tock, he said. 15 minutes gone. We've got an hour left if we want to play it safe. Ready to move on?
Nate looked at Veek. She nodded.
Yeah.
Want me to go first?
Nate took a breath and lifted the flashlight.
I'm supposed to be in charge, right?
Tim gave a thin smile.
Doesn't mean you can't delegate.
I've got it.
He switched on the light and aimed it down into the shadows. The bottom of the stairs was about 15 feet away. He set his foot on the first step. The metal creaked but didn't budge. He went down another step and Veek put her hand on his shoulder. She gave it a squeeze. He reached up with his free hand to squeeze back. They descended into the darkness.